This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
And a privilege to be able to be here this morning, but not only this morning, for the next while. I pray that I might be a blessing to you. And if not, I'm sorry. And I pray that you'll be a blessing to me. And if not, I forgive you. The Lord gave me, unfortunately, don't have much time to do a massive introduction, so we're going to jump right into it. But before I do that, just want to thank Gert for coming all the way from Cape Town, one of my intercessors, and Ruth that's sitting with my wife and my child feeding in the back. You guys are amazing. Love you. Had a real awesome time in prayer this morning just before the service, and really helped me feel at home. So thank you for that, for you guys. And if you've got a heart for intercession, we've got a meeting after the service in the upper room. If you can't hear God's voice, and you want to hear God's voice, we're having a meeting on hearing God's voice, aka intercession, in the upper room after the service. If you call to be intercessor, put up your hand quickly if you call to be intercessor. All right, half of you deceived. We're all called to be intercessors. All right, so can I ask that afterwards for 25 minutes, the entire church will be up in the upper room. You see how I start waffling. This morning, the Lord has laid something on my heart that I really want to discuss. And I'll be discussing it this Sunday, and I'll be discussing it next Sunday. So thank you for taking the last stretch of the year to being here this morning. I believe this is one of the keys for you individually, for me individually, for us corporately, and for us as a nation. If you do not bring a pen and paper, you're in trouble. Please take out your phone and take lots of photos. Not of me. Of the scriptures. Are you excited this morning? I pray for the anointing of Uncle Patrick on all of you. He grabs the mic and he preaches. He's excited. Did you feel the excitement when he came up? Just the fire of the Lord in him. I pray that we may all have the fire of God in our hearts and our minds and in our bones. Amen. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. There's two things we need to see in this opening statement, this opening scripture. One, we cannot hide. As a Christian, bad news, you cannot hide. Isn't that awesome? Secondly, we are exposed. We are exposed. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we come and submit these next few minutes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We pray that you'll come and speak to each one of us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are building your kingdom. And the gates of Hades will not prevail. We pray for the joy of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go on to my second slide, that is part of the old wall of the city in Jerusalem. I love this picture because it speaks of us today, the cause. But it speaks of God's promise and what He said and what has stood over time. The word is still applicable to us today. And as we go to the next slide, I've been privileged to be in Israel, spent about 40 days in Israel, and it's where God confirmed the call of my life for ministry. First of all, you don't have to go to Israel to hear God's voice, okay? There is that thing. doesn't exist. But if God says, you go. Amen? And so God said, I must go to Israel, and I prayed for 9 months, and then one day someone gave me a ticket, and the next thing I'm in Israel. And God showed me amazing things. They spoke amazing things there. I asked God one of those impossible things while I was there on the last day. I said to the Lord, I want 3 miracles to confirm my calling in ministry. 3. And I made them 3 impossible things. Who's ever done that? All right, we've all done that. You can put up your hands. Don't be shy. All right, so the way I preach not to myself. It's a group effort. I need your help to get through this, guys. I'm nervous. I'm worried. I'm human. All right? Do you know why we say amen when someone preaches? Anyone? I agree. And when we say we agree, we're making a spiritual stand which says we agree. Amen. Like Uncle Angus does. You don't have to be Uncle Angus. You can say amen if you need to, however you need to say it, but let's get some amens. Because we're taking what God is saying is truth. Any case, I asked God for 3 miracles, knowing that it was impossible, all 3 on the last day. He did all 3. And here I am. And I can't get out. I've tried. I love ministry. I love pastoring. I love the call of God. And I love the saints. I love the saints walking in what God has for us. So let's get into that. In the beginning of the year, and unfortunately I don't have time for this, God gave me a prophetic word for the year. I ask Lord every year, what is the prophetic word? And the word he gave me is the word placement. Kind of like positioning. And what I've been noticing is that God is placing people in certain positions. He's moving us around. There's a placement that we have in Christ that is awoken in my life this year again. There's a placement where he puts you in a position. He's put me in Durbanville. How's that for placement? It's a cool place to be. Should I rather say it's a hot place to be? Because cool is like where God spits you out the mouth. Right? Lukewarm. That's what cool is. And he spits. So let's just be hot. It's a hot place. Okay. But this is Wellington, not even Dias. Dias, right off bottom. Okay. And what I love about this church, speaking about the placement, what I love what you guys are doing is that this is one of the most prophetic churches, listen to me very carefully, because you're going to disagree, one of the most prophetic churches in the Shofar movement. Okay. Thank you, sister. We'll get there. We'll get there. Now, I know that you think, because you've been taught, that being prophetic is gold dust and glitter dances and weird stuff. Okay? I'm not sure what that is, but let's just say that's an extension. A very, very far, distant cousin extension of what the prophetic is. I love the fact that you guys have a trumpet in the worship. I've got a real heart and desire for the prophetic, and we'll work towards that, but that's not what today is about. We're speaking about the concept today of the city of refuge. Can we move on to that beautiful scripture? Then the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. When they flee to these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gates, listen carefully, and state their case before the, then the, or to admit the fugitive into the city and provide a place to live amongst them. Keep it there. Is everyone with us? Does everyone know the scripture? Come on, most of us are Christians. We should know about this. So what happened in the Old Testament is Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So if you killed someone, you had to be killed. That's how it worked. But God realized, okay, we're going to have to make a little something, something. Because what happens if you kill someone by mistake? There's an accident. And then the Lord built this beautiful idea in the Old Testament now. We'll get to the New Testament now. So, let's carry on. If the avenger of blood comes in pursuit, the elders must not surrender the fugitive because the fugitive killed their neighbor unintentionally and without premeditation. They are to stay in the city, listen carefully, until they stood trial before the assembly and then until the death of the high priest who was serving at that time. Then they may go back to their own homes in the towns which they fled. Who's a high priest of today? Let me help you. There's a little thing on the stage there. It's sort of a little hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Okay? Jesus Christ is our high priest. Do you see where this is going? Of course you do. You've heard the sermon before. You're well-educated, Bible school, amazing people of God. Amen. So God made a way that if you had killed someone, that you could come and find sanctuary. This already speaking about Christ. So let's look at the next slide. God made six cities of refuge. And what you see as this little picture entails is that the Levites were the ones who had had these cities. And from no place was it further than 50 kilometers to get to the city, the closest city of refuge. And it was marked all the way. It was so much marked that the roads were double the size to these cities. And part of the Levites' jobs were to make sure these roads were like the N1. Finished. Maintained. Looking good. We're getting there, Durbanville. We're getting. I'm proud of you. Such a prophetic thing, that N1 that you're working on. Well done. Finish it quickly. Amen. All right. So let's look at the Levites. This is going somewhere. So strap yourself in. Hold on. Stick with me. Hierdie Engelse boertjie, seentjie, weirdo. You'll be all right. Okay? This is going to make sense now. I hope. That's why I stretch it over two Sundays, so I can fix next week what I've broken this week. So please come back. The Levites were the only tribe that received cities. How cool is that? Awesome. But we're not allowed to be landowners because the Lord God of Israel is their inheritance. Those of you that own your own house, that would have been a no-no. In those days. They were not allowed to own land. Think about that. Which means they weren't able to really make money because you couldn't farm. Farming was one of the main things those days, right? Thank you, brother. Let's put up a map of Israel. You've heard this before because you're well scholared people. Israel is as big as the Kruger National Park. The whole world is fighting to own the Kruger National Park. People are bombing to have the Kruger National Park. How does it even make sense? That's how big Israel is. And there you can see the six cities of refuge, as on the map. But let's go look at these six
these six cities. The first city was known as Kadesh. And Kadesh means to sanctify, to set apart, to consecrate, and therefore to make holy. The second city, Shechem. Between the shoulders, or the burden bearer. Hebron. Most of you would have heard of Hebron. Fellowship. Joining. Bazaar. Or bazaar if you want to. How bizarre. How bizarre. Signifies a fortified place. Ramoth, signifying to be high, raised up, exalted, and then Golan. Now, Golan is a weird one. I had to really go do my homework to go and find out what these cities mean, because my Hebrew is not very strong at all. I can't even remember how to say hello when I go to Israel anymore. I had 20 words when I was in Israel. I can't remember. And that's new Hebrew, and this is old Hebrew. So don't trust my Hebrew. But what I did do is go do a lot of research on these six cities. And Golan is rejoicing through deliverance. But when you actually read, it says, it's said to be delivered, at least derived, from Galhar, to remove, to deliver, or pass away. In other words, to die. Also, it's derived from Gal, signifying to rejoice. Who died? And who got risen again? Does that make sense? Is rejoicing through deliverance of death. These six cities speak about Jesus Christ already long before Christ was here. That is who Christ is. Amen? Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing how God says that I will make cities of refuge so that you can find salvation, so you can find freedom, so you can find healing. We'll try again next week. Thank you, Uncle Pat. All right, next slide. So Jesus is our city of refuge. The name of the Lord is... Come on. Come on. And they are? Yes, jy is prachtig. You are untouchable in Jesus. Did you know that? Oh la la, we're going to have to preach about that one later. All right? I don't have the scripture up. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap. Oh man. The gap in the wall. So I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I, being God, found no one. And therefore he made provision for the perfect lamb, for the perfect sacrifice. Do you guys know the story of Durbanville? Does anyone know the history of Durbanville? I'm sure Ross has preached this before and brought a whole anointing. And if you've missed it, please go look for it. I'm going to be in a few sentences tell you what Durbanville's about. It's really important that you know why Durbanville exists. I don't agree, Bernie. Okay, tell me, do you know why your company exists? Does it work? Okay. Yeah, sorry, Magrit, we're all wondering. I'm joking. All right. Do you know why your job exists? So let's get that in the company. Do they give you a job description? Do you got a job there? Do you know why you're there, what you must do? It'd be kind of hard to work for a company if you don't know what you're doing. That's how it feels like working for the church, by the way. You never know what you're doing. It's just all things to all men. That was the best that Paul could do. All things to all men. Why Durbanville. Good question. So let's look at it. Durbanville is designed by? Oh, hallelujah. The unfundraiser. We open can of worms. Hold on. Hold on. We're going to get there. In around 1652. And it was based around freshwater spring. It was primarily for watering station for travelers between Cape Town and the rest. Don't you love this? And it was originally known as? I love the Afrikaans people. My bloed's Afrikaans. My taal is Engels. I have the best of both worlds. So the village grew rapidly until the turn of the 19th century. And a local wagon industry was developed. The King loved that name. The King Brothers Wagon Works. And they became the biggest wagon producing company in South Africa. At the turn of the century, they employed more than 200 people, which almost accounted for the entire Durbanville. It's about twice the size of what we are this morning. That's how big Durbanville was. Gooi daai volgende slide. There you go. Come on now. Wow. Durbanville. And I think there's church, I can't remember. Go look it up. The streets are there. Yes. And there's a Durbanstraat and an Annestraat. Did you know that Durbanville was actually named Durban at one stage? It was very confusing. Yes, it was called Durban. They changed that to, praise the Lord, I'm going to Durban for the weekend. Didn't work so well. Okay. Where am I? We're speaking about the redemptive purpose that God has for Durbanville. Who knows the difference between a wagon, a wagon and a cart is? Just for humoring you. Okay. Yes, a cart has two wheels like a motorbike, and a wagon has four wheels like a car. Minute for ander. He's not by a cart in wagons with hier rondry in Durbanville. What does wagon speak of? It speaks about business, work, prosperity. It also speaks about the way we spread the gospel. How did we spread the gospel? With oxen. Oxen was that took wagons through Africa to bring the gospel. Are you with me, Durbanville? Are you getting where I'm going? Spring water speaks of life. It speaks about God. It speaks about rest. If you notice, there's kind of a peaceful vibe in Durbanville. If you don't agree with me, go to Cape Town. Drive in there for a day. I come from Cape Town. That place is crazy, man. The mole choppies. You don't know ever what to wear because you never fit in. You never know which coffee shop to. You can't just say, let's go have a cup of coffee. Your choice is about 3,000 in one street. There's net Loopstraat. There's a Kloofstraat. Let's go out for dinner. Man, it's a problem. Another problem is, kan nie braai nie. Okay, there is no braai. You just can't braai. There's a calling that God has on Durbanville. Nou wat sê jy, broertjie? What are you on about here? Thanks for asking that, brother. I see that hand. We're getting there. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Listen, I'm not sure if Ross shared this with you. If you want to get accurate translations of the English Bible, sorry to Afrikaans people, you've got two choices and that's it. But if you want good translation, the ESV, according to Corne Becker, Dean of the Regent University, is the best translation at this moment. According to Bernie Trepto, the second best is the NLT, okay? It makes sense to me. But let's read together. But you are not like that, for you are a? You are a? A holy nation, God's very own possession. Okay, who here is a priest? Put up your hands. Okay, 70% got it. Let's read that again. But you are not like the world. You are Christians, chosen people, sons of the living God. You are a? Okay, sorry. That was a trick question. Who here is a royal priest? There you go. There we go. 90% of us. Hallelujah. It wasn't a trick question, the first one. Well spotted. I don't know, whatever. A holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, as a result, what? As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Next year, God willing, I'm going to give a 9 or 10 week sermon series, if there's space and we can, in the evening service probably, on the life of Joseph, so you can just get this. To help us get a little unstuck, for those of us that's not like Uncle Patrick. For those of us that's a little bit stuck. You can show others the goodness of God. We've got to hurry up. My next slide. This is what Ross is going to speak to you and teach you about next year. The vision that we have as the elders and the Lord's been speaking to us. This is the culture that we want to cultivate in 2019. Next slide. That's just to make you a little hungry to come back next year. All right? But the one thing I do want to just mention in brief is the missional part. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it loses its flavor? Can you make it salt again? It will be thrown away and trampled. It's worthless. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. If you're a priest, you've got a problem because you don't own anything. Oh, hallelujah. Now we're in trouble. If you're a priest, which you just told me you are, you don't own anything. You only have stewardship. Everything you have is the Lord's. Let me help you. Because either we walk in the privilege of God and the righteousness of God and authority of God and the truth of God, or we don't. You can't have it buttered both ways. I'm sorry about that. My child is on Tuesday 1 month old. She's not mine. But God chose me as a royal priest to steward her life so that she may be brought up in the way of the Lord. Or I'm going to be a controlling father and just tell her what to do all the time. Are you with me? If I know that I'm a steward of this, I'm sure going to go seek God's heart for why he created this girl, this beautiful daughter. Right? Those that don't have kids, you'll get that later. It's a revelation I had on day two. Oh, man, get kids. Changes you. I'm a father for 2 days. I'm a different man. Next slide. See, we have a problem in South Africa. Isn't that such a beautiful church picture? Huh? A perfect church family right there. You'll notice the white picket fence is broken. Don't you love that? Huh? because that's the problem, the white picket fence. So the white picket fence tells you, bou 'n huisie, get a secure job, make sure you got a good pension fund, later strand huisie. We start hoarding and protecting and closing. The problem is that God has called us to be missional. He's called us to be the light. You are exposed. You cannot hide. God's calling us. Let's start pulling this together because this needs to start making sense to us. God's calling us as a city of refuge. Do you know what the calling of South Africa is? Let me help you. You've heard that it's the breadbasket of Africa, right? You've heard that. Can I tell you, South Africa's calling is a city of? How was South Africa started? People came and found? Isn't it strange that we're the only country in the world that has full nation, rainbow nation? We are one of the most diverse countries in the world. Why? Why is it so profound that when we have xenophobia, that we're coming against the calling of Jesus Christ on this nation? But what do? Nada. Nothing. He says, strange that we're called to be a city of refuge, but all that people are doing is hoarding, stealing, taking, providing their own pockets. What do? Nothing. The church of Jesus Christ has become silent. Because we've got some weird issues that we're strung through the Bible. Our argument is God a he or she? Where did that come from? How far have we fallen from the power and the glory of grace? When I was a student, I had this moment. I got backslidden as a student. You know how our students do that. In my backslidden stage, I was driving down Stellenbosch one day, a guy driving the car with me, and I saw two people fighting, a man and a woman. They were street people. You could see it immediately. And the guy gave her a smack that she fell to the ground. I hit brakes on that car like there was no tomorrow. I climbed out. My buddy said for me, lost it, lost it. That's Afrikaans, sir. It's profound because most of you speak English to me, even though you're Afrikaans. And I grabbed that man and I said, brother, not today. I didn't hit him. I wasn't safe. I didn't get physical. I just took him away and I made sure that she could get away. And then I had a stern speaking to the man. Dit is jou pa vir jou gesê het, as jy ooit weer. Ek sê mos ek's Afrikaans. As jy ooit weer, as ek jou ooit weer vang, Buddha, fivefold ministry. But now I'm saved. What do? When we see things go wrong? Very little. As Christians, we don't go there. I love this church because you go there. You're in Delft. You're in Urban. We go there. But I invite us to keep going there, seek harder, and be the light unto the world. When you're having that braai and someone comes up with a conversation, ooh, die Eskom. Nee? Our country's going to the heaven knows where, and I'm leaving to Australia or heaven knows where. It's there that you have opportunity to bring truth. What are we doing about Eskom? What are we doing about the fact there's no electricity? What are we doing about the fact that there's not enough water? What are we doing about the things going wrong in this country? No, but it's not my job. Have you been around Uncle Angus for 2 minutes? If my people called by my name, repent, turn from their wicked ways, I will heal the land. That's all it takes. We don't need any unsaved people to do nothing. We need to do it. We can do this. Durbanville, we can do this. You see, Shofar is called to be a city of refuge. This church, aka not the building, us, are called to be a city of refuge. We need to open our doors. We need our light to shine out. We need to say, you're welcome into my house. People do not know that you're saved because they can't see you saved because we're hiding behind walls. We've got to open our doors. I love this church. I mean, I've never known a church that invites so many times, so many people. It's crazy, man. When I met one of the elders, they invited me to an outreach thing. Like, they just invited unsaved people. I don't know if it was my job to get them saved or what. You know, I'm just like, okay, this is awkward. Ek tog ons ontmoet nou die pastoor. My pastoor skoene aan, my pastoor hempie aan, my pastoor broekie aan. And it's also my lekker braai and all the unsaved people and all dirty jokes. And I mean, I was so boreed daarna. Ek stap uit, Lord, where am I? I thought we were going to speak about Jesus. I thought they were going to impress me with their knowledge of the Word of God. None of that. It was my culture shock. I loved it. Changed everything inside of me. I realized I'm going to have to change, man. I need to be the light. That's why I love this church. We're the light. Next week, I'm going to speak a little bit about the roles in the city. We heard about the roles of the elders. We speak about watchmen. My question to you today, that only you can answer, is what is your role in the city of refuge? What is your role? Wat sê die Here moet jy doen? In the city of refuge, in the city of Durbanville, in the city of South Africa. Can we stand this morning? Guys, as you can hear, I'm really excited about this. I'm excited that we do what God's called us to do. I'm excited about this nation because I believe this nation will feed a continent. I believe this nation is a place that if you are being persecuted, that you can come to South Africa and you'll find safety here. We've got in Shofar, Cape Town, if you haven't heard, we've got a bunch of guys from Burundi. Because in Burundi, if you're a Christian, you get killed, man. It's crazy. And these guys are fleeing into this nation. So we've got a whole, like 40 guys from Burundi. And we're discipling them. We're raising them up in the way of the Lord so that we can send them back. It's so exciting when you're doing what God's called you to do, when you're building what you're called to build. So corporately, we'll start speaking about this, with those four things that Ross wants to bring up. How are we going to do that? How are we going to live as Christians in Durbanville? But let's remind ourselves that this Durbanville is called for people to find rest. And there's only one place there's rest. That's our Lord and Savior. And we're called to do business. We're called to take the gospel into the nations. Let's close our eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will come and show us the role that we need to play in the city of refuge. For some of us, we're called to be gatekeepers. For some of us, we're called to be elders in the gate, and we'll go into that. The elders as in the Daniels, and the elders and the prophets as in Ezekiel. And for some of us, Lord, we call just to come and make a cup of coffee. For some of us, we just call to be godly parents. And for some of us, we call into the business realm to make a difference for the kingdom of God where we speak truth. And some of us, we call to bring healing and help people to come into rest. But I pray, Lord, that by the Spirit of the living God, that you will come and come bring that conviction, but bring the passion. Lord, you have put in each one of us a passion that we might live out our passions in Jesus Christ. We pray as this year comes to an end, Lord, that we might find rest. I pray, as Ross was so beautifully preached on the scars, a time of reflection, that we can truly reflect on this year. For some of us, we've had a crazy hard year, Lord. For some of us, we've had a blessed year. But we will reflect on the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's saints said, amen. Have a great Sunday, guys. Thank you. Thank you for letting me go a little over time. I pray that you get good rest. See you guys next Sunday if you're still here. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.